read verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This being the first Sunday after Epiphany, if you go back on the calendar, it's the third Sunday after Christmas there as well, we always celebrate as the baptism of the Lord. We remember Jesus' baptism. One of the reasons that we remember Jesus' baptism is because Jesus was baptized. And it's kind of weird. I've been using the word scandalous a lot, I feel like, recently. But Jesus being baptized was a bit scandalous. Now, if we go back in our scriptures and we read what John was proclaiming, he is proclaiming a baptism of repentance. Turn aside from your ways, you evil people. The Lord is doing something new, and you want to be ready. The foundations of this, we talked in Sunday school, was those Jewish purification rituals, making yourself clean and so that you were worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. John is proclaiming this baptism that all the people are needing. God is coming. Something new is happening. You need to be ready. Turn aside from your evil ways and wash those sins away so that you're clean and ready. So why does Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus is that new thing that God is doing. Jesus is God's Son, his very presence in the world. Jesus is the one that the people needed to be ready for. So why does Jesus need to be baptized? The Gospels don't always agree on many things, but one thing that they do agree on is that John baptized Jesus. It's weird. And so they have to deal with it. It doesn't make sense. And so each gospel has to talk about why Jesus is being baptized. Here, Matthew has John recognizing that it's weird and not right. John says, "I need to be baptized by you. You're the one with that baptism with holy fire that will cleanse all of us. I need that from you. And yet here you are standing in front of me to be baptized." It's wrong. Things are turned around. This is not how it should be. But Jesus answers him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus essentially says, this is a thing that needs to be done. God has asked for it to be done, and so we ought to do it, to be doing what God has asked us to do. And so John says, "All right, come on, we'll baptize you." And so I wonder today what baptism is all about. We talked with the kids a little bit. Did you see my tongue-in-cheek conversation with them? You do have to take a bath very often, or you'll become the stinky kid in school. I know some of y'all don't go to school anymore. You don't want to be the stinky person in Kroger or at church. We moved the chairs apart for COVID, maybe for our stinky selves. We get dirty over and over again, and so we have to bathe over and over again. Oftentimes, we think about baptism in that light, washing away our sins, stripping those things that we've done wrong so that we're clean again. But of course, just like needing to take a real bath in the tub, we continue to sin each and every day. We're not perfect people. When we become baptized believers, it doesn't mean that we're perfect or that we stop making mistakes. So what then is baptism if it's not a washing off and a preventing of those sins? I think part of what Jesus is saying to John is that this needs to be a public thing. You're baptizing all of these people who are recognizing God doing something new. Me as that new thing that God is doing, I need to be a part of that. I need to participate. And so the other part of baptism is that it is this public proclamation. We don't very often, us ministers, like to baptize people in private. If you come up to me and say, hey, I really want to be baptized again. I know maybe I was baptized before, but I want to do it again. But I don't really want to admit to everything up in front of everybody. I'm kind of shy. I don't want to do it in front of everybody. Can we meet on a Tuesday, perhaps? I'll even pay to fill the baptistry up for you. I just don't want anybody else there. I'll say no. Baptism is this public thing. You are making a public proclamation of your inner faith. You're telling the world that you believe and belong to this Jesus. It's a communal thing. And when we baptize people in worship, in the congregation is able to look up and remember their own baptism. We give ourselves times to think back to when we were baptized and made that confession ourselves. Now, the other part of being in a Christian Church Disciples of Christ congregation is that we have a believer's baptism, right? So we don't baptize babies. If you say, Peter, I want to get my baby baptized, I'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. We can talk about the other reasons that you want to baptize your child, and we can find other ways to make that meaningful and try to search for what you're doing. But we don't baptize babies because we believe that as people of faith, it needs to be a conscious decision that we make. I'm deciding to follow Christ. I'm deciding that his teachings and his life and the things that he said and the things that he did are important to me. That's why we baptize people. It's your personal belief being expressed publicly and allowing others to do the same. The other thing in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, we like to do baptism by immersion. We dunk you under the water. And sometimes in seminary, we even have classes where we practice baptizing each other. Because it's hard to force somebody under the water, even if they want to be, and bring them back up. Now, we prefer it that way, because we do. I know there's probably a reason. But we also accept other people's baptism. Just as I mentioned, Jesus wants to be a part of what everybody is being a part of. Part of baptism is joining a club, right? It's making that public announcement, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm one of you. It's part of being in that group of believers. Now, there are some churches, you have to be baptized at that place or by their people. We're not like that in the disciples. If you were baptized as a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Baptist and you walk in these doors, we'll take you. We're not a discerning group. Maybe that's the wrong word. We're not going to say you need to be rebaptized by us because we as disciples are the only ones that do it right. And it doesn't count. If you're not with us, we'll take you. You can be a part of our community of faith. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, and we're all following Christ. And so on this baptism Sunday, where we remember Jesus' baptism and trying to, in an overarching way, to talk about baptism, do you recall your own baptism? And how often do you think about it? In Sunday school, I played around with this idea that perhaps we think about our baptism as much as we think about our wedding vows. That somehow our baptism is also this covenant that we have with God and with the community of faith. I think that's true. I'm promising to live my life the way that Christ has lived it. I do this, get baptized in the community so that you hold me accountable for following Jesus' words as best as I can. It is a covenant that God also promises to be in your life, guiding your paths. And so that idea of a covenant, how often do you think about it? Is it like a wedding vow where you only kind of think about it when something bad goes on? Oh, yeah, remember, we promised to stick with each other. It's kind of rough. Maybe I'm talking a little bit about myself. I remember thinking that when things went bad. I made a covenant to God that I'd stick beside you. Or do we think about it when things are going really good? Oh, I'm glad I picked this person to walk beside. They're here with me now. Is that how we think about our baptism? Lord, it's a dark time right now. I stood up in front of that congregation and made a confession of faith. I promised to follow you, and I thought you were going to follow and be with me, and I got baptized. You're supposed to be walking with me. Where are you? How do we think about our baptisms? Told the kids we're not going to rebaptize you if you decided you did it wrong the first time. We can do other spiritual things to try to feel good about our faith journey because we're all falling short in one way or another. But how do we think about our baptisms? Jesus said it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Our righteousness has been fulfilled through our baptisms. And we try to live lives that are worthy of that righteousness. So how do we think about our baptisms? How do we think about the decisions we made to follow Christ? And if you haven't thought about it in a while, maybe spend some time and think about it. Amen.